In the morning, he felt almost embarrassed. "You took advantage of a scared kid," he accused his mirror image as he brushed his teeth. "You saved her from a scary situation, and then you carried her off to your bed like Gonzo the caveman. Back to your old tricks." But hell, it had been a long time, and she was just as happy about it as I was. Tamara was sitting demurely in the bed, sheet pulled up to her chin when he came out of the bathroom. Feeling unaccustomedly flustered, Dan padded to the closet where his two newly purchased suits were hanging in the otherwise empty expanse.
"You talk in your sleep, do you know that?"
Tamara called to him while he hastily dressed.
"Not me, and I don't snore either."
"You didn't snore, but you talked quite a lot."
Pulling on his slacks, Dan asked, "Anything intelligible?"
"Mostly mumbles," she said. "Only one name came through clearly enough to understand."
"One name?"
"Jane."
Dan felt the breath sink out of him.
"That would be Jane Scanwell, wouldn't it?"
He remembered the dream. It was about Jane, all right. Angry with him and loving him all at the same time. A real jumble.
"Wouldn't it?"
Tamara insisted. He stepped out of the closet fully clothed in a sandy brown lightweight suit that he had bought at the hotel's men's shop for an outrageous price. "Yeah," he admitted. "Jane Scanwell." Tamara smiled at him.
"I think you should marry the woman. You definitely are in love with her."
He made a sour face. "Thanks for the advice." Tamara laughed and got out of bed, heading for the bathroom. Dan stood watching her lithe, naked body until she shut the door. He shook his head. "Women. How can a woman spend the night making love to you, parade herself naked in front of your feasting eyes, and at the same time tell you that you're in love with somebody else and you should marry her?" The trouble was, Dan knew that she was entirely right. Jane realized she was taking a chance. She had no certain way of knowing where Malik's loyalty stood. She wanted to believe that Vasily was exactly what he appeared to be, a hard-working member of the council, a dedicated representative of the vast Russian Federation, a man intent on orchestrating this enormous global effort to save the world from the greenhouse cliff. But he could be secretly working for Rafe, or perhaps working with him rather than for him. "If that's the case," Jane knew, "if he's on their side, then I'm stepping into a minefield." Their meeting had to be away from the GEC offices. Jane knew that Malik's relationship with his wife was strained at best. She hardly ever saw the two of them together, even at social functions. So she felt almost no qualms when she asked him to have dinner with her alone. And she was not surprised when he swiftly agreed. Now they sat at a table by the big picture window of Les Trois Anges, looking out over the Seine as evening spread its soft purple shadows over Paris. Smiling over his aperitif at her, Malik said,
"This is a very romantic restaurant, isn't it?"
Jane did not return his smile.
"I picked it because it's away from the office. We're not likely to be disturbed here, or overheard."
He cocked his head slightly.
"Then this is strictly a business meeting?"
"Of course. What did you expect?"
"Nothing. Only business, naturally. Still..."
"Strictly business, Vasily."
"Of course."
Jane sipped at her drink while Malik looked out at the people sauntering along the street, couples sitting on benches along the river. It would be pleasant to walk with Lucita along the Seine, he thought, or to sit on one of those benches and watch the moon come up over Paris's rooftops. But Lucita's heart still belongs to Dan Randolph. Malik knew that, and it fueled his hatred for her, and him.
"Vasily," Jane said, pulling his attention back to her, "I think the council is being undermined by organized crime."
His smile turned sardonic.
"Not that again."
"Again?"
"Just because Gaetano's an Italian, half the council thinks he's connected with the mafia."
"He is," Jane said firmly. "He had a friend of mine murdered."
Sighing,
"Yes, Rafe told me he thought you blame him for Robertson's death. He was 80-some years old, wasn't he? A heart attack is not uncommon."
"He was starting to investigate how organized crime is infiltrating our greenhouse project. They killed him."
"I'm sorry, Jane. I can't believe that. Not without some hard evidence."
She studied his face, trying to determine if he was being honest with her or covering up his own connection with Gaetano.
"If I bring you hard evidence," Jane asked, "what will you do?"
Malik's eyes flared.
"I will do whatever needs to be done to wipe out the criminals. Our program to avert the greenhouse cliff is too important to allow a pack of hoodlums to get in our way."
He seemed honest enough about that, Jane thought. Now comes the hard part.
"Vasily, has it occurred to you that Gaetano and his kind want our project to succeed? That they want the GEC to take control of the global economy because it will be easier for them that way?"
"I don't understand how."
Jane hunched closer to him, leaning across the little table, and lowered her voice to a whisper.
"Once the GEC is effectively running the entire world's economy, if the criminals have successfully infiltrated the Council, then they will be masters of the world."
She saw a flash of understanding cross his face. Then it hardened into an immobile mask.
"So you think that I am merely a pawn for Gaetano to push about as he chooses?"
"I think that we are all running the danger of packaging the world with a big ribbon and handing it over to the International Crime Syndicate."
Malik was obviously angry and obviously trying to control the rage he felt.
"Very well," he said through gritted teeth. "I will keep a careful watch on Gaetano. If you have this hard evidence you mentioned a moment ago, I would like to see it."
Jane nodded slowly.
"I'll get it for you."
"Rest assured that I have no intention of allowing criminals to take over the council. I have decided to run for the chairmanship when Sibuti's term is over."
"But it's Europe's turn next."
"Do you want Gaetano in the chairman's seat?"
"No."
"Then we must break with tradition and force a vote, a true vote. Will you support me?"
100%, said Jane.
"Good," Malik replied. "Now let's order something to eat."
To himself, he added, "And once chairman, I will see to it that I remain in the post for the duration of this emergency. No one else has the guts to deal with this greenhouse problem, not even this former president of the United States."
30.
"Not only does she suspect me," Gaetano was saying, his voice high with anger and fear, "but now she's got the Russian to oppose me in the vote for chairman."
Marcello Arcangelico sat calmly in his powered wheelchair, his eyes following the furious pacing and wild gesticulations of his young henchman.
"Softly, Raffaello, softly. This isn't Aida. You don't have to bellow."
Gaetano stopped his raving and stared at his chief. In the sudden silence, he could hear the faint chugging hum of the biomedical equipment built into the wheelchair that kept the old man alive.
"Come, sit down here beside me."
Arcangelico patted the seat of the chair next to him. They were in the old man's study, a dark and somehow menacing room lined with bookcases from floor to ceiling. The windows were covered with tasseled drapes, heavy with dust. Medieval suits of armor stood in the corners and on either side of the double sliding door, brandishing lances and battle axes and spiked truncheons. Scant glimmers of sunlight leaked around the thick draperies. Dust motes danced in their wan beams. Don Marcello had parked his powered chair beside the heavy mahogany table in the center of the darkened, somber room. There were four chairs placed perfectly around the table, and a small lamp exactly in the middle of it, shining feebly, throwing the Don's face into wrinkled highlights and deep shadows. Gaetano sat obediently on the proffered chair, complaining,
"But the chairmanship was supposed to go to United Europe. To me. The rotation is traditional. It's unheard of for another council member to contest the election. It's a slap in my face."
Don Marcello shook his head sagely.
"Let them have the title," he said, his voice wheezing slightly. "What do you care? Titles mean little. Power is what counts. What about respect? The council chair is an empty title. Some prestige, I know, and more responsibilities. But what additional power does it gain you? Very little."
"It should be mine by right," Gaetano mumbled.
"Yes, I understand. But now I will show you how to gain more power than the chairmanship would give you, and respect as well."